calls to order. We have several new members present at this meeting. Those that I have appointed from the Macon-Bibb County Commission. So for their benefit, as well as for everybody else's, what I'd like to do is go all the way around the room. We'll start by going around the table, and please identify yourself and who you are here representing, so that we'll kind of get to know one another. Scotty, can I start with you, sir?
You may. I'm Warren F. Scotty Shepherd. Nobody knows who Warren is. I'm Scotty Shepherd, and I'm representing the Macon-Bibb County Commission, and was appointed by our current mayor, Mayor Rick. So I'm glad to be here. I know some of these faces in here.
Scotty, tell them what district you represent, where that is.
I'm in District 7, which is sub-south, and bordered Elaine's district, borders mine, and runs out 247 all the way over to Hartley Bridge Road and out Mount Pleasant, and then goes back a little ways in there, but a little bit of a Bloomfield. I've got a little bit of Bloomfield, so got a huge area, but in a varied species of constituents. So, and it's been interesting already.
I bet it has, Scotty.
Jim, I don't know if you can quote me on that.
Jim.
Thank you, Scotty. That's
quoted
great.
That he mentions Elaine's name and she's not here, but he just says District 9 and I'm here.
All right, we'll come around. Craig.
I'm Craig Ross. I'm chairman of the Macon-Bibb County Transit Authority, and I've known Scotty for 40 years, and he ain't changed.
Okay.
Tom Quinn, Georgia DOT's Office of Planning, and I represent the commissioner.
And Tom spends a good bit of time down this way, but is your office in Thomaston or is it in Atlanta?
I'm down in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
I like them down here, though.
Good. Tom, we're always glad to have you here, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Ken?
My name's Ken North. I'm with the Planning and Zoning Office.
I'm Gregory Brown. I'm with the Planning and Zoning Commission as well.
I'm Jim Thomas. I'm the Executive Director of Planning and Zoning, and also the MPO Director.
And for the benefit of our new members, Jim, talk just a minute or two about the role of the MPO, what MPO stands for, and what your charge is, and how it interrelates to MATS, M-A-T-S.
Okay. Well, MPO stands for Metropolitan Planning Organization, and it's a function here in Bibb County that the Planning and Zoning Commission has been assigned to take on. We've been the MPO for, since the 70s or 60s, whatever. Dark ages.
Another way. Well.
Yeah. And we function, wearing that hat as MPO, we function as a staff for the MATS program. And MATS, of course, stands for the Macon Area Transportation Study, and is made up of the Policy Committee, the Technical TCC Committee, and the CAC Committee. So we herd you guys around and make sure things are getting done right. We oversee the development of the long-range transportation plan, the yearly TIP, the yearly work program, and we work closely with our federal partners and our GDOT partners in that regard.
And I'm Robert Rickard, and currently serving as mayor of the consolidated government of Macon-Bibb County, and delighted to be here and still learning my way around the MATS and MPO process, but delighted to be here. Jack.
Good morning. My name is Jack Reed. I'm with GDOT District 3. I'm the District Planning and Programming Engineer.
We're always glad to have you here as well. Jaime.
I'm Jaime Webb. I'm the chair currently of the CAC, the Citizens Advisory Committee, which is one of the three committees of MATS. We are the one that represents ostensibly the public, and we are unpaid and unelected and unappreciated. That's all right.
Thank you. Frank?
I'm Frank Patterson. I'm vice chairman of the Macon Water Authority.
Good.
I'm Al Tillman, represent the Macon-Bibb government, and I also represent District 9. I'm also a former member of the CAC, And my district encompasses parts of Bloomfield. Scotty Shepherd and I share Bloomfield. It also encompasses Bellevue, the parts of Vineville and Ridge Avenue area. And so it's sort of spread out. And since the election, I've discovered two places I represent, which y'all, some of y'all probably never heard of, called the Highlands area, that folks didn't know about, and Charles Place, too. And so, so I challenge, I know y'all hadn't heard these places, but they exist, and they're making it. I found out after the election was over. Those are my district.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Al. Thank you pleasure very to be much. Here. Dave, let's come back around and go around the outside just so we'll identify everybody, please. Hey, Mallory, come in.
I'm the Macon Bibb County Engineer.
Don Tusing, planner for planning and zoning.
And Don, tell them just a little bit more about what you do for planning and zoning, because you do, don't you do air traffic or air quality modeling and all that stuff?
Well, I don't do the modeling. I work with the agencies, US EPA, Georgia EPD, and GDOT, the Federal Highway Administration, who does do that. We have to maintain try to maintain our air quality. We're still under that, so that's one of the big things that we have to do each time. I do population projections and everything. For instance, I worked 2 years behind the scenes on the 1994 SPLOS list that was passed back then. So,
very good. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Van.
I'm Van Etheridge. I'm with Moore and Alphabet and Associates, and I work on the Macon Bibb County's road improvement program.
Good.
Shalom and meet the water authority.
And we're glad that you're here. Mallory, let's come back to you. We're just going around the room and introducing ourselves, and so
right.
We'll come back to you.
Mallory Jones, newly elected commissioner for District 4.
And representing Macon Bibb County on the MATS as a voting member of MATS committee.
Right.
Bill?
Bill Causey with Macon Bibb County Engineering.
Good. Nick?
Nick Petrak, CAC.
One, glad to have you here. Yes, ma'am.
Morgan Simmons, you got Austin.
One, glad to have you here today. Jim, everybody knows you, but go on. Pass up.
Jim Gaines from Telegraph.
Great, and we're glad to have you here, Jim. Clinton Ford.
Clinton Ford of GDOT Program Delivery.
And we're glad to have you here as well, Clinton. Thank you, everybody, very much. I appreciate that. First thing on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Excuse me, the approval of the agenda. That you have here before you, are there any changes to the agenda that anybody, anything that we,
There's one thing that I thought we could add under new business, and that's discussion of Forest Church Road.
That'd be fine. That's just under new business. So we can do that when we get to it, I think, without objection. That would be great. Thank you very much. If not, then is there objection to approving this agenda as it's set out?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve second. The agenda and second by Hammond. Discussion. All in favor say aye. Opposed? Good. Then we've got an agenda to work from. Let's go to the next thing, which is the approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Are there changes or additions or corrections to the minutes as they have been prepared?
If I may ask Nick to speak for the, because I wasn't here, but he had a question about it.
About the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't notice in the minutes, you know, at the last mass meeting, you referred three items from the CAC to the TCC, and I didn't notice that in the minutes. You know, the sound barriers on I-16, I-75, caution light, the crosswalks over at Wesleyan, and
bikeways on Forest. Well, they're on the agenda for us to discuss on the old business, but
yeah, I think those were referred in the previous meeting before the last one. Was that?
No, I don't think so. But that's okay. I just wanted to mention. Because the TCC, you discussed it at the TCC, just the last TCC meeting, those three items. So I would imagine that's when it got referred.
Perhaps we could just say note was made of the referral of bikeways on Forest Hill Road, noise barriers on I-75, and crosswalk to Tucker and Forsyth Road to the technical committee.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that because it's since they show up. Any other corrections, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, Chair will accept a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
So moved.
Motion by Craig, that you?
Yes.
And second by Frank Passon. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good, then we've got minutes as amended to note those three additional items were referenced. Next is the election of officers. And Jim, tell us a little bit more about that, please, sir.
Every year we have to elect a chair and a vice chair. And so this is our first meeting in the new year, so it's time to do that.
Okay.
The chair functions as the head of the policy committee, and in his absence, the vice chair would take on these responsibilities.
Okay. Then we got to elect us a chairman and a vice chairman. The floor is open for nominations for chairman.
I'd like to nominate Mayor Rickard for chairman.
Second. Thank you. I appreciate that motion. Motion by Craig Ross, second by Al Tillman. Are there other nominations? Oh, come on, y'all. other nominations.
I make a motion that it be closed.
Is there a second to that?
Scott
Shepherd.
Now you're going to take him off the
railroad. I feel the railroad running already. All in favor of closing the nomination, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, well then, by acclamation, then the number one candidate, and I shouldn't say acclamation, I guess that's to say all those in favor of Rickard as chairman of the MAPS commission, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Well, I've been duly elected again. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and appreciate your confidence. Vice chairman, the floor is open. Nominations for vice chairman of the MAPS committee.
I make a motion that we, Jane Thomas. Is that right? I don't know the gentleman's name.
Jim Thomas?
Jim Thomas.
It can't be.
I'm staff.
I thought you were vice chair here.
No, that has been in the past. The Chairman Hart and I have kind of swapped back and forth. He'd be the chair one year and I'd be the vice chair, and then the next time I'd be the chair and he'd be the vice chair. So we've kind of swapped back and forth for two or three years. So.
It needs to be from the voting members.
And
I make a motion that Mr. Warren, Scotty Shepherd. that happened on another committee the other day. Be nominated for vice chair of MATS.
Second by Frank Patterson, all right.
See, it didn't even die for a lack of a second, Scotty.
are there other nominations?
Make a motion to keep close.
Second.
Motion that nomination be closed. And second by Frank. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nominations are closed. All in favor of Warren F. Scotty Shepherd as vice chairman. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Congratulations. You got the Scotty. We appreciate your willingness to serve. All right, committee reports. Let's go first to the CAC. Jaime, will you make that report for us?
Sure.
All right.
Although with Nick, who was actually chair when we had our last meeting, until I was elected the new chair,
right,
wants to say anything, I'd like to be able to ask him to do that. We had a long discussion about the representation on CAC, and before what it went to TCC as well, and something that we've been talking about for a long time. We also tried to realign our membership to represent the new districts, the nine new districts as well. So we got a jump on that. I think we're pretty much clear on that. I think so. we realign things and kick a couple of people off and ask some new people to be on. And we'll discuss the rest of it when we get to the old business and the agenda.
Okay. From the TCC, the technical committee.
Yeah. Happy meeting. Before I get started on that, I want the board to know that we had contacted and reached out to Commissioner Bilderback in Monroe County. He is now a member of the master policy, and we talked with his staff, and he was supposed to be here, so I'm not sure what happened, but anyway, we'll contact him again, make sure he's on board. So. The TCC met on the 15th, and we have a quorum present, so we could conduct the business. Same agenda we have before us today. We held elections for a vice chair. Tony Rojas was elected again. The chair is by position, and I'm the chair by virtue of being the MPO director. We had, like the CAC, we had discussion about the public participation process, and I was the staff was looking for input from the CAC and the TCC about the process of the public participation process and whether or not the CAC was an effective tool for that. And so we had a general discussion about that. We also discussed the minor change to the UPWP, which is on the agenda, and they saw no problem with that. Jack Reed presented a project status report, and then we handled the old business item, which I'll talk about
when we get to that. Good. Okay. Very good. Public input. Is there anybody from the vote? Nick?
I guess I'm public.
You are?
Yeah.
Indeed.
I just wanted to make two comments. We had a meeting on the sound barriers over at the old Tinsley School several weeks ago with GDOT. And as part of that, you know, it fits into public participation so well, but I just had to bring it up. As part of that, they said that they had a website where comments could be added to, and they gave us a website. I went on that website three times. It was non-functioning three times. You couldn't make a comment. It had a 800 number to call for customer service, which, of course, you know, I eventually called. Now, you have to make your comments within 10 days or else they're no good. So I called the 800 number, and I got a very nice lady who was very helpful. She told me that she was with a service company that designed the website and had the contract something like 2 years ago on this website and had it canceled 2 years ago, and she had absolutely nothing to do with it, nor did her company. And she didn't know, you know, what to do from that point, except she said maybe I could call a man at Mortal and Altabelli. So I called Moreland Hatzabelli, got the guy's voicemail, left two messages, and never heard back either time. So I just wanted to bring that up, because we talk about public participation all the time, and to me that is fairly non-functional, both from GDOT's point of view and from Moreland Hatzabelli. I mean, a year and a half on this website and they haven't updated anything. So that just had me ticked off. The second thing I wanted to bring up was, you know, we had the motion that the CAC wanted to have sound barriers installed along I-75 in all sections of I-75 as part of this project on I-16, I-75. The TCC, it was referred to the TCC, and they discussed it, and we were told at that point that from GDOT, and I understand what they had to say, that it could not be done because if it was not part of the project, the federal government would not pay for it. Okay? Now, the blight along I-75 is very clear to everybody because of the noise levels, especially in the inner city areas. The noise levels are horrendous. When I was canvassing for you back in your first election, when you started to talk to people outside, when you were near the interstate, you had to shout. You know, it's extremely excessive. So we need the sound barriers. If you have any concern at all for the growth of the city and the health of the city, we need those sound barriers. Now that we can't have them because it's not part of the project, but Matt's is the person that decides what's in the TIP and what's in the LRTP. So if you, as a group, decide that the barriers have to be attached to this I-16, I-75 project, they have to do it. So it's up to you to protect the city. It's up to you to do this. And you have the authority and you have the responsibility. That's all I wanted to say.
Good. Thank you very much for your comment, and I'm sure you've got several members of here from the DOT that will inquire into the website, because obviously you don't want to refer people to a website that's not functioning or an 800 number that's incorrect. So I'm confident that they'll check into that. And appreciate your comments about noise barriers. I'll just stay in my place. I've already had one complaint about the installation of noise barriers from commercial folks along Riverside Drive that are thinking that that's going to screen them off and people won't see their signs on Riverside Drive because of the new sound barriers that are being proposed, interestingly enough. So there's always somebody on the other side, somebody that wants the sound barriers because they can't hear and they live close by, and the commercial people that don't want the sound barrier because now you can't see my store and my signs. Just interesting commentary.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask Nick something?
Sure.
Nick, where would the sound barriers start? Where would they begin and end? Where you think they should be?
The sound barriers, in my opinion, should be all along I-75 from in the city limits to Rocky Creek Road. That covers everything.
So from north to south, from city limits?
Well, we already have it north now, coming all the way down.
Right.
They're putting a new sound barrier. This is what the discussion was, and Tim Thornton was the one that has the business that doesn't want to be screened off, and that's just a very small portion that is for Corbin Avenue. They're putting a sound barrier there, and he doesn't want it extended as far into the commercial area as it is, and I don't see any problem with that, because we want to protect the residential areas.
Right.
But that's only going for about 1,000 feet there. Then there's a big break there, and then there's sound barriers going along, Pleasant Hills, that area, and then they stop. Nothing else past there is in the project, so they're not included. That's what you have to attach. Sorry about that.
So we have, if we voted to do so, then that would have to be added.
No, sir. I don't think that's accurate. We can get additional information for you. My understanding, and Tom, let me tell you what my understanding is, and then you correct me. My understanding is that noise barriers are to be included as part of a project, and if there is no project, the federal government ain't gonna pay for sound barriers. Otherwise, they'd have to put sound barriers out the whole interstate highway system.
Right.
And they can't do that. So they're trying to phase it in where there is a project. So therefore, along Riverside Drive from Arkwright Road to Pierce, mm-hmm. there was a project. And boom, they went to sound wall. The sound walls that they're talking about now along Riverside Drive are associated with a project, the improvement of 1675. So where there is no project, there is no sound barrier, at least from the federal government. If you want to pay for them locally, you could always do that, whether you try to get that permission to put them up. But it would be all your cost, which would be prohibited. How close did I get?
Yes, sir.
That's
spot on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry Nick didn't get to hear that. We can certainly try to help him understand. That's
so they were not part of the widening of the work from Arkwright to Pierce?
Well, they were.
On the commercial side, I think. They weren't. But, and I can see where, as a business owner over there, I wouldn't want them over there either.
And don't ask me how they decide on sound barriers. I mean, it could be whether folks want them or folks don't want them, or what's on that side, whether there's a density of residences close enough to it. There's a whole science that goes into height, where they are, etc. I mean, it's a whole new science.
Science is a good word. Yeah, they do. They do
mapping of residents.
Studies and how many decibels and how it drops over time and the terrain. And,
yeah, terrain and trees. And
those are all things that you present to the federal government.
So it's possible you have them on one side and not on the other, which is what you've got it down that stretch of 75 between Arkwright and Middle.
So that stretch, they were only approved or designed on the northbound side? Is
that's
that
correct.
That's what's out there now.
All right. And then they were never done for the other side.
Correct.
And that's mainly because on the north side it's residential, the south side is all commercial.
Oh, wow. Well, I live on the south side, but I'm so far enough back from it that I don't count.
And actually, where he was talking about it, Corbin is residential. I mean, that's all residential.
Right, and that's why they're talking about putting the sound barriers there when they do that part of the project.
Do you have a good website that I did a lot of research on sound barriers a couple of years ago, and I really found a lot of information that sort of indicated they really weren't very effective for very much. Do you have a good website or information you can send us?
I can send staff another copy of that letter. Last time we got Fish asked about noise barriers and policy, GDOT policy. You got that one. And probably the folks there that deal with them, that office, sound like a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
Yep. Contact name, it's there. Those are folks.
Does this cite studies and data and things that we can access?
No, this is a letter that is in response to a letter that Chairman Hart, as the MATS chairman, sent back.
Yeah, I read that letter, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for data, that studies that actually show how effective they are.
Those folks would be the ones that would be able to speak on that. Okay.
We have a copy of the study that was done for the section that you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
That I'll be happy to share, but as far as other general sites, I'm not.
Any other member of the public wish to address us? Okay. Yeah. We will move on. I hope y'all notice that this is the new, kinder, gentler of presiding officer. I'm trying to respond to criticism that was leveled out. A ham-fisted dictator at these meetings, and I certainly don't want to come across as a ham-fisted dictator, so this is a kinder, gentler channel.
It had an effect on it.
Right. At least for now.
That's it. At least for now. All right, we'll move into the agenda items. Matt's bylaws discussion revision. Jim, will you do that?
I will, Mayor. All right. This is on the agenda mainly for discussion and input. This is not wasn't on there for as an action item. And we had the same item on the agenda for the TCC and the CAC. And basically the staff, the MPO staff, needs some direction on, number one, whether or not there needs to be changes made to the process, to how we're structured and how we operate. And number two, if there is reason to do that, how do you want to proceed in making those changes? We've had some open conversations at the other committees, and there are a lot of ideas floating out there. We've been, the Federal Highway folks and GDOT have discussed that it's probably time to at least review what we've got as far as the bylaws and the public participation process. We actually have a document that we have to update. It's called the Participation Plan, and it's time to review and revisit that. We really are just looking for direction from the board on how to proceed.
I think that probably, much as I hate to do it, I think a committee to look at that would be better than trying to do that here as a committee of the whole. I also think that on that committee we ought to have somebody from Jones County, somebody from Monroe County, and somebody from Bibb County, and a couple of the additional authorities that we have. Will you, Jim, work on seeing if you can't get the Monroe County to give us a representative to serve on a committee, Jones County to get us to serve on a committee, and then I will serve on that committee. I will ask our Transit Authority representative, Craig Ross, to serve on that committee, and our Water Authority representative to serve on that committee. And that ought to put us at, is that five or six?
That would be five with Monroe, Jones, Craig.
One, two, three, four, five. And that's enough. And then we'll bring it back to y'all, because all we're going to do, how many?
I think that the chairs of the other two committees should be on.
The chairs of the CAC and the technical committee. Great idea. Great idea. Is there objection?
No.
Then we'll add, that's seven.
Okay.
And then call us together. Once you get Jones County and Monroe County to identify somebody that can be part of that, we'll look at the bylaws and see what changes, if any, need to be made. All right?
Okay.
All right? Unified planning work. Revision to the UPWP for FY 2015.
This is a real minor change. I'm not even sure it's an action item. This is really to keep the board informed. Every year we develop the work program that lays out how the MPO staff are going to use the federal grants we get, planning grants we get to function as the MPO. And we've already adopted a draft, but since then the funding has changed slightly, and we received notice from GDOT, Federal Highway, that our funding is going to be reduced slightly. It's actually $186 less than we had in the original document. So we adjusted a few numbers to lower it by $186. So really minor change. So just want to keep you in the loop on that. That's really all I have on that.
And is this where we took the $186?
Right.
And the long range transportation plan update. As you say, is this an action item? Do we need to ratify that, or
for the record, if you could.
This is a big one, y'all. $186 reduction, so that our outlay balances our input.
I'll make a motion.
Great. Motion by Craig Ross.
Second
by Mallory Jones. Further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. All right. We've got us an updated planning document then. Project status report. This is what we've all been waiting for. Jack?
All right.
And by the way, before he does this, I noticed that our project report is on one page. With a little bit on the backside. But let me tell you this now, and I think I stand to be corrected, but Tom may be able to provide that. Those areas in our state that passed the T-SPLOX, their planning document is 2, 3, 4 pages long. And ours is one, because we got no money, y'all. We got no money. They wasn't teasing when they said there was no plan B. And we all know that austerity, that ain't a plan either. I mean, you know, so I understand the legislature is considering revisiting T-SPLOX or giving some sort of a kinder, gentler T-SPLOX and letting the individual counties that want to get together. So I don't know what's going to come out of the legislature, but stay tuned. But tell us what we're doing with the money that we do have, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Starting with project count number one, I think this is one you all want to discuss. 000566 Sardis Church Road Extension. So Jim, what all do we need to talk about on that one? I've got the projects on schedule.
Well, I don't. But your schedule, and you've got it in fiscal year 2016. It was scheduled to be let, Jack, in 2013, in the spring of 2013. And they ran into a problem with prior rights on electric transmission lines, because part of the Sardis Church improvements is along the existing Sardis Church Road, but then it deviates and kind of runs in a southeasterly direction with a new greenfield construction, new section of road, and then it ties into a realigned Avondale Mill Road as it crosses Industrial Highway. And ties in. So you had some greenfield, some existing roadways and prior rights. My understanding is that the committee, hired an attorney with Sale and Melton, Blake Lisenby, to do an analysis of prior rights and what were, and then they took several months to do that and provided that report to Georgia Power Company, and they took it in and they looked at it. And it is my understanding now that, Georgia Power has given us a very favorable, quote-unquote, very favorable interpretation because of the new franchise agreement that we just executed with them last month. And therefore, they agreed where it's a road project and not just a cosmetic thing that they've assumed, and they've given us a favorable interpretation of that. The last I heard was that our local share, Dave, do you happen to have that number in front of you? It was something like $150,000 that we're going to have.
I think it's $149,000 that's in question as to who will pay for it.
But what's the total? Something like nearly $2 million.
It was $1.6 million.
Relocation cost for power poles.
Relocation cost, and I think most of that now is going to be absorbed by Georgia Power.
Georgia Power.
So I don't know whether Clinton has any update.
Yeah, Clinton probably has.
He knows something.
Actually, I don't have it's being presented to management today, and I haven't heard anything.
You hadn't heard that. Okay.
This is what I'd like for us to do. I'm so excited about the Sardis Church project, and I think folks in that area of the county are excited, and I know full well that it will improve access to the Middle Georgia Regional Airport by at least 1,000%, getting from I-75 to that airport. Increase it by at least 1,000%. So I'm real excited, and I think this development with Georgia Power, what I would want, I'm asking y'all to please push the throttle forward, see what we need to do to move this project on. I want it on schedule of 2016, Jack. That ain't on schedule. That's 2 years later than it was scheduled to be let. We're a year behind. I'd love to get it let in spring of 2014. That way we wouldn't be but a year behind. Is there any way to do that, Tom?
We pushed the money out when this all came up, and we're working through that.
Correct.
And Ted Carr, Director of Planning, was saying
that if we could get it worked out,
kind of move it on the back burner, but not
not a thought firm.
Kind of, you know, put it in the parking lot, get this resolved, which it sounds like it's moving. Then we look at getting it back on board, get back on the funding train.
Can you look into that for us and let Jim know so we can know what, I mean, I'd love to get the money reallocated to us and get that project moving.
Yeah, we need to change the TIP. And it, actually, the TIP is constructed in FY17. So there's a little,
this one says 16.
16, yeah. But nonetheless, if as soon as GDOT commits to the funding and the scheduling, then we can do an amendment.
We really think, Tom, that with the concession made by Georgia Power, that the additional $150,000 in relocation expense can be, should be absorbed by the Department of Transportation and still be within your budget, which is about
51.56.
Don't let $150,000 hold up a $51.5 million project.
Yeah, we will wait for this resolution. We are fresh on here like y'all lately. This is breaking news.
And we're excited as we can be about it. We're just thrilled. And thanks to Georgia Power Company and isn't it wonderful that our franchise what you talking about? See, because boom, the city limits run all the way out there, and that new franchise agreement says if it's a streetscape project, no, but if it's a road project, they'll move the poles. So huge benefit. Thanks to Georgia Power for being such a wonderful partner with us. And yeah, please push on that. Great. All right, Jack.
Project count number two. That's one of the five Jeffersonville Road projects. This comment will apply to the rest of those, which are project count number 23 and 25 through 27. Pre-acquisition work. Expected to begin early February for right-of-way acquisition.
That's good news.
Let me interrupt you right there. Dave, will you and Van give us an update right there on where that is? Because you're doing that, right?
Yes, sir. We're doing that, Van, and we issued him a work order to start the acquisition of the right-of-way. Van, what have you got in more detail?
Yes, sir. We've started acquisition work out there. We've, you know, hired an attorney, and we're starting on title work, and we're looking at appraisal work. We'll be meeting with George Todd about what kind of appraisals we need on each parcel shortly. So we're moving along as fast as we can right now in this early stage.
This is another project that those folks have been waiting on a long, long time. And the Jeffersonville Road project runs from the Emory Highway really all the way out. It's got three sections to it, as I recall it, Van. But it runs from the Emory Highway out past Middlefield Road and a new construction and some improvements along Middlefield Road, but continuing out. I think the name changes to something like Recreation, but it runs all the way out to US 80 and intersects with US 80.
There is a recreation road out there.
Yeah, but that's another huge problem. So thank you very much for your hard work on that, and we look forward to hearing more. And Jack,
it's good news.
It is good news. It's great news. We moving. We buying property. We getting ready.
Project account number 11-000-7636. The construction contract is routing. That's the walkways and waterworks.
I have the Muddy River outlook. I have an update for you there. There's a groundbreaking schedule for today at 2:00.
Right.
At Amerson River Park, at the Porta Pavilion. This is a $5.5 million project. Originally earmarked by Jim Marshall when he was in Congress. And we're breaking ground today for improvements that are going to make a huge difference in that Oxbow Park that was formerly the waterworks. Huge. It's going to turn it into a magnificent passive park with walking trails and canoe launches and overlooks and picnic sheds and permanent bathrooms close to the playground. It's great.
Very nice place.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a regional amenity. What else you got? You're doing good, Jack.
Yeah. I better leave while I'm ahead.
No.
Project account number 12-000-8986. This is the Old Moody Heritage Trail, Walnut Creek Extension.
Yes, sir.
The environmental assessment document was approved by FSWA at long last.
Hallelujah.
Tentatively in the July 14th letting.
That will extend the Okmulgee Heritage Trail along the east side of the river from its current terminus at Coliseum Drive down to Walnut Creek, where it will tie onto a trail from the Okmulgee National Monument that's existing and comes down there. So then you'll be able to make a complete loop and get up into the Okmulgee National Monument. Another huge. Keep going, Jack. You on a roll, son.
I'm behind you.
What does lump sum mean? I mean, I know.
In this context, pretty much as soon as we get it ready, we can let it. The funding's in place.
So you have the okay.
Yeah.
And that's great. I mean, to get the environmental document approved, go on the road. Oh, that's huge. That's huge. Mm-hmm.
Project account number 24-350-520. County Road 723, Forest Hill Road, from Macon, from Forsyth Road to Wimbish. No activity, and the project schedule has been removed on this one.
I have one other question, if I may.
Yes, sir.
On the late 18 and several of the others related to the interchange, it says plans on shelf by December 15th. What does that mean?
What that means is we'll have the plans ready for letting, but there's no funding for them until
that December 15th.
So we'll have the plans ready and put them on the shelf until such time as we have funding for them.
So of last year or this year? December 15th. Oh, December 9th. I got it. Yeah. Sorry.
By the way, Jack, one other thing. It is my understanding that there was some concern that when we removed Vineville Avenue and the Northwest Parkway from Log Cabin to Vineville, that that could affect the traffic count along Forest Hill Road. And it is my understanding that the Georgia Department of Transportation was going to look at that during this period, because this is the project that was deferred, I think was the language that was used, deferred for a year, and it was pushed out of our transportation improvement program. It was pushed out and deferred for a year. But I think that the Georgia Department of Transportation agreed to look again at that and see whether or not it would make or would not make any difference in the traffic counts that they were using. That's what I, so don't let it say no activity and remove. There's supposed to be some activity going on about looking again at the traffic counts, given those updates that Vineville Avenue and the Northwest Parkway are no longer in our long range plan. They even removed from the long range plan, and the long range plan is 40 years.
The preliminaries on that project were done 20 years ago. So it was probably good timing that GDOT is going to look at that.
Don't let it go into hibernation, Jack. Don't let it go into hibernation. That y'all are supposed to be doing something about looking at it.
So Jack, you mean no design activity? The designers aren't designing, but it's still simmering.
I prefer to you. Sit over there. It's an easy PM.
Yeah, presently there's no design activity.
Right. That's what there's no design activity, but there should be activity going on that might affect the design and relooking at that and justifying the numbers.
Well, that's a local project, so I have to defer.
No, that's one of these. That's one of these joint projects. We joined at the hip on that now.
Okay.
We joined at the hip on that. So find out. My conversation was that you would use this period of time to relook again at the traffic counts, given those updates that we took Vineville Avenue and the Northwest Parkway out of the long range plan.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It does somebody transcribe these recordings, because this is the third meeting I've been to where there was serious discussion about whether that project and the other project were actually deferred or removed. And since we record them, surely somebody can go back and find out exactly what was said and who voted which way. I was
the language that Lonza used was defer, but It's just semantics.
I was at that meeting.
The plan, that those projects are no longer in the long-range plan.
Those, wait a minute, the Vineville and Northwest Parkway are no longer in the long-range plan. But this section of Forest Hill Road was deferred from our TIP, which is a four-year plan.
Correct.
And it was supposed to be deferred for a year.
Now, that was the vote that was taken by the committee.
That's one that was 8-7.
Yeah, that was in the minutes from the
correct
policy meeting.
Right.
So
it's not in the paper.
Right. Well,
I wasn't in the meeting.
And during this year of deferral, I hope we're doing some additional traffic count information, and then we're going to have another discussion about whether to put it back into the TIP. And I'll say for the record here again, not trying to be a ham-fisted dictator, but I have serious, serious concerns about the safety of pedestrians in that section of Forest Hill Road from Wimbish to Vineville. That apartment complex that's out there on the right-hand side, as you go from Vineville toward Wimbish, there are a lot of people that walk from there up to the Starving Marvin at Vineville Avenue, and there is no sidewalk. There is nothing but a dog trot path that at some points in places is 12 to 18 inches away from the fog line, and no adequate street lights, and people in dark clothes walking, sometimes with their back to the traffic, which is wrong. You're supposed to walk as a Boy Scout. You're supposed to walk facing traffic, right? But they walk with their back to the traffic with groceries and stuff like that. Somebody's going to get hit and killed out there. I'm just terrified that might happen. So I'm interested in keeping this open. I'm not dogmatic about any particular plan. But some improvements need to be made in that section, and I do not want this thing to drop off into an abyss where you say, that's y'all's problem. No, sir, it's not our problem. This is one of those problems we joined at the hip on. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on this list.
I'll help Clinton back there. I think what he's getting misspoke on was like the design phase. Who's leading that? And that's kind of a local thing. We're helping out, but we're not. For example, I think the other phase has got hired design phase consultant got hired by the county.
Okay.
Or the city.
Van.
But anyway, that's
Van.
We're coming in.
He's saying this is on you.
Well, it was one of the original road program projects.
Yes.
And the county and city had been doing the design work on it, and we've got it to preliminary and right of way approval design. So we've been holding up since the right of way was put on hold.
Right. That's what was deferred for a year.
Right.
But as I say, and just to be in full candor, this was a conversation that I had with your planning director. And he said that you would use this year and not to try to fight, get crammed back in there, but use this year to look at that to see. Because if the traffic count goes down, that gives you a little more flexibility on your design. If the traffic count doesn't go down, then you're still tied to the same sort of requirements from state and federal. If you're going to use our money, you're going to have to meet our design criteria for the volume of traffic that's projected to be out there. So they're supposed to be looking at that again during this year. Don't let them forget to do that. Please, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Clinton? Don't let them forget to do that. Tom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just making sure, folks, again, I hear exactly what you're saying, the understanding of who's kind of got the horse by the reins, and it's being designed locally. That's And then we come into construction at the end.
Okay.
Well, so, let me say, let there be no doubt, once we walk out of this room, that it's a joint effort. And I concur with what the mayor is saying. But if this is an official document, then my concern is walking out of this room saying no activity. And so, we need to make sure that it is reflected by all present, that it is some type of ongoing activity and conversation.
Sure.
Because if someone just reads this, which the public can, and it just says, oh, there's no activity, everybody didn't understand the language and everybody's not privy.
Excellent point. Tom, can y'all amend this to come up with something?
We can show that again. We get
sure.
We're not needing the design. We're not.
You're not doing the design, but you're doing the traffic. You're doing the traffic count. Relook at this particular point during this 1 year is what I understood the planning director to say he would do.
Absolutely, we are.
Okay.
Just make sure folks know that the lead, we don't actually lead this. So we get the information and we put it in here. If this was being designed by us upon the interstate, we are the horse you talk to. But on this one, again, that project is a partnership. But the first part of it, that design effort, is locally driven.
Right, but they can't do the design until they get the traffic.
Absolutely. I just want to make sure
everybody's and y'all are doing the traffic count.
Because sometimes folks say, that's your project, you're doing a project. And I'm like, well, it's our project. The design phase.
Don't y'all love this kinder, gentler? Yes, Mal?
Maybe it should say under review instead of no design. And I agree with the mayor on the street. I travel that street back and forth to work every day. I thought the original plan was too expansive, but
something's
got to happen. And those lanes are narrow. They're eroding on the edges, and it's curvy. Mm-hmm. So, and you're exactly right. Even people who are runners are supposed to know better, run with the traffic, and they're not supposed to do that.
Connie, you got a question?
Yeah, I do. So who, just so we all know, who is going to do the traffic counts?
State.
And when?
The state.
Everything for the design process is being led locally. We have oversight activities. So Clinton is there to kind of oversee, make sure it's done properly, so when the construction money comes in, that's federal dollars that we control, is done to meet the requirements.
Clinton, go over there and grab Edward, stand at his meeting, and make him do what he's supposed to do.
Exactly. So will they be done on both sides?
Y'all ain't pointing fingers at one another at the end of this thing. Y'all get it done now.
Will the traffic counts be done?
We got this little one-year delay, this deferral period, make good use of it.
Will traffic counts be done on both sides of Vineville? In other words, the parkway that's been taken off?
See, well, I don't know how they do that modeling. This is way over my pay grade. When you say we're not going to improve Vineville Avenue between Forest Hill Road and Pine Island, and we're not going to improve the Northwest Parkway at all, and it's not going to do, what does that do to the estimated count in the future? It's not putting a counter out there right now. They could do some sort of high-level modeling and see where traffic's trying to get from sub-south to northeast and what routes are available, and if you had this one, would that funnel more traffic this way or less? Way over my pay grade. I mean, so but it's not a traffic count, a rubber hose out there on the road right now.
So I'm taking it that Moreland's going to do it. Is that right?
From what I understand, okay, correct. We did sit down and get those projects from Moreland. Some of those counts, high-level kind of crystal ball, start to change, and that's what kind of flagged that we all went, oh, we need to do something. So in this design stuff where you roll your sleeves up and really get to that, again, what I call design level traffic counts, which are more than crystal ball, which are just really getting in the weeds. That's part of that design process which is being done. That, again, we're part of, but we didn't hire the consultant. Y'all are locally hired the consultant and are doing all that detailed design work. And then you guys will send it to us and we'll review it to make sure, again, make sure it kind of meets federal requirements.
So what you going to put in this language, Tom?
I'm going to spank Jack after the meeting.
I knew I should have left a couple minutes.
Seriously, y'all don't let this drop between the cracks.
Why don't we just have an update every for the next meeting and subsequent meetings so that it's on the table?
Because we don't meet often enough. For that, so you know.
Well, these are good questions. This again, I'm used to things with no activity. To me, that means there's nothing on my table needs to be done. It's the design.
That's what I'm trying to change.
Process.
There is something. There is something that needs to be done. You need to do something. You need to get with Van and tell Van what he needs to do.
So, do you have certain code words that go in here? Can it not say under review? Which sounds like a little more. It's being under review. That's what's happening, isn't it?
Well, I think we want them to be reviewing it, just not to say it. And
is that adequate, Tom? Can we put under review?
Can you do that? We can do that. Hey, I can move.
Under review.
Well, it needs to happen. What I'm saying because
it does need to happen.
We know that this has been a high button issue, and I would not like to just see it as, oh boy, we got a year break. Yeah. Just go and relax and rest, and we can stop talking about that thing for a while.
Yeah.
No. Let's continue to work.
Well, I think.
I'm sorry. One other. Who's going to be in charge of the design once the data comes forward?
That man right back there. Moreland Alpha Building, Van Etrich.
And is that it? Is that in concert with the Citizens Advisory Committee and this policy committee? Who has to say so on that other than Moreland?
Well, generally, if we get in federal funds, GDOT is the primary reviewer. All the work, and we have to get there.
And then when you come back, when you get done with that, y'all take it out as part of.
But do
contract.
You do you in fact meet with CAC and get the public's opinion? Take that under advisement. Is that a part of the process?
I think we passed it.
Generally, the CAC work done prior to even starting the project.
Yeah, I think everybody. I mean, I'm not trying to cut you off and be ham-fisted, but I think everybody knows the concern and the consternation. It's been an ongoing topic of conversation for now 20 years, and recent developments here. I think everybody knows that we know we need some improvements, but we need it overdone. But yet we've got to meet state and federal requirements. Well, what are the state and federal requirements if we don't have traffic count numbers that we can rely on? So that's where it gets back to you. So it's under review, Jack.
Oh yeah. Well.
Is that right?
It is. I think project scope under review is probably.
You can see us next time, and I'll help you.
Okay.
How about the money? Where does the money come from for this new
work? I mean, I'm just curious.
Essentially, they're from the Georgia Department of Transportation using federal funds. Now, there is some local money already tied up in it, a fairly extensive amount of local money that has been expended on this as part of the road improvement project, several million dollars worth of design work and right-of-way acquisition that has already been done.
Yeah, but I meant for the new study. It's almost
completely GDOT at this point. Once they get a design, my impression is that it's almost completely GDOT money. Very little left for local money.
At some point, we might need to get another allotment.
We got right-of-way and construction on our plate. Those funds when that gets to that point.
Hot dog.
Partnership going to come in.
Hot dog.
Yeah, and then the design phase, you know, kind of started is that local, locally driven, and we get to that, everything squared away.
Yep. That's what we're looking for.
That's what we're looking for.
Get squared away.
Where's the money coming from to pay for redesign?
And for the new traffic counts.
That's going to be done in concert with GDOT.
I know Marlin Altobelli would have to come to somebody to get their money.
I don't think Marlin Altobelli does traffic count now. I think the traffic count, my impression from talking to the planning director was that was something that y'all were going to do. Some of this high level.
We got that first cut, and then that next detail cut will come out of the design process.
Well, like I say, y'all talk. Van?
Mayor.
Y'all talk.
Mayor,
yes, sir.
It seems like we're worried about communications between everybody. Could we have a committee or two just ask Jim to follow up on this on a periodic basis? And
let's ask Jim, because he's full-time. Rest of
That would be the easiest way. And whether he wants to do it on every 2 weeks or a monthly basis.
That's right, Jim.
And just to make sure that it's out in front of everybody. And if he could do that.
I take that as a motion to ask Jim to follow up with GDOT and Moore, and I better be sure that we continue to move. I take that as a motion.
A second
by Scotty Shepard. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Jim. We appreciate you doing that for you. Jack, what else you got?
Jim, I'll volunteer to serve on the committee. My neighborhood is right there.
What else you got, Jack? You were doing pretty good till you got to that one.
Got me shaking. I'm probably count number 37.
37, that's on the back side.
Yeah, State Route 49 in Norfolk Southern Railroad, 0.5 miles south of Gray. Close to the concept report submitted on that one. So it's good, slightly behind schedule, so we have to.
But I do want to call attention for everybody to look at the comments on the right hand side for several of these projects. Long range, no activity. 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 So even though we got a page and a quarter of projects, they're all long range and no activity with very few exceptions. We've got to find more money to drive some of these transportation improvement projects. Some sort of way, whether it's T-SPLOST or a local SPLOST, or we've got to find more money for transportation improvement, infrastructure improvement. That's my 2 cents worth. Privilege of the chair. Any other comments, Jack?
I noticed this morning when I was reviewing it, the two more I-75 I-16 projects are not showing on here, the Pleasant Hills work we're doing, 1A and 1B.
Yep.
So I'll correct that before the next meeting.
That would be good.
I don't know why it didn't generate.
Because that's about a $10.5 million mitigation project that's going on in Pleasant Hill, including the relocation of houses from Middle Street to include the Little Richard Penniman home place. Moving it to the other side of the interstate, Jefferson Long Park and all that. So we'd love to get an update on that.
Are the sound barriers included in that end of the project?
Yes. Yes, sir. They've been design phase for sound barriers along there, involving the Pleasant Hood neighborhood, the Shirley Hill neighborhood.
I got a question.
Who?
On number 30, log cabin at Rocky Creek. There's no log cabin at Rocky Creek, so explain that to me. What was going on? Log Cabin at Rocky Creek didn't touch. So what is that, Log Cabin at Rocky Creek? What does that mean?
Maybe it's the creek.
It's a bridge replacement. Looks like.
That's the creek.
Oh, okay. The creek.
That ain't Rocky, okay. That ain't Rocky Creek Road. That's okay. Rocky Creek.
Right, Rocky Creek.
Okay. Rocky Creek. It says Log Cabin Drive at Rocky Creek was the State Road 74. So we're talking about the actual
creek.
Okay.
The creek in the bottom. Creek in the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. But see, that's another one. Long range, no activity. And that's right. Be aware, we have asked city council asked a local engineering firm to design a sidewalk project, Dave, that would connect along Log Cabin Drive from where the sidewalk project ended, about where Town Home Apartments is, Town Place Apartments is, near Durs Lake.
Right.
From there out to Mercer University Boulevard.
Blairstown Creek Apartments.
And we're trying to do that with local money, local splice dollars, road improvement project dollars.
We're talking about the bridge on Log Cabin.
But this would go right beside the bridge. They're actually adding a little thing on the outside of the bridge because we don't have the money to replace the bridge. You start talking
right.
Going to
put it on those
$20 million.
I thought, did we find the money? Don't we have the money locally for that?
For the sidewalk, yes. And it's an addition on the outside of the bridge. The last design I saw, but we'll get them to come back again because we hadn't done a final approval yet.
Right, the preliminary design is due February 12th, so we'll have more information at that point.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to close the bridge and put another one on the other side? Or?
No, it's an extension
to
the bridge. You add on to the side.
It's an add-on. Okay. All right, we've still got a lot left to do, so this is where being ham-fisted helps move us through an agenda. Anything else, Jack?
Just because we're starting a new... This update is supposed to be presented to both CAC and TCC ahead of time, so you may not have known that, but we'd like to get it. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't, so if you can, that'd be great.
I did, and I tried to adhere to that, but sometimes things being what they are.
When I know
a meeting's coming up, I send this out blank to all the project managers. They fill out their part and send it back to me, and then I assimilate it. Sometimes during that process, it doesn't get.
That's fine.
But now the last, meeting.
It was presented at the TCC, yeah.
Well, not to the CAC.
The goal should be that we get the electronic spreadsheet, that we send it out before they meet, so when they do meet, they can get the question answered. Right. So that's what we need to start doing.
And then if I solicit their comments too early, by the time I get that, the comments are outdated before the meeting, so I'm kind of in a...
Yeah, I know you have to balance that out.
Yeah. And last thing right quick, the color coding, yellow is for...
It's on the back.
Yeah, it's on the back. Projects are in the pit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And completed activity, red text. Okay, good. Thank you very much. That's for everybody. Any other comments on that, Dave?
Mr. Chairman, there are two projects that are one project's actively under control. And one's about ready to get started. If Jack could add those, the roundabout at Lamar Road and Thomaston Road is actively under construction.
Right.
Roundabout at Holly Road is going to kick off around the 1st of March. They have a big construction conference.
And that's an excellent point, Dave, but that is not what we do here at the MATS meeting. Once the contract is let, it drops off of our sheet and is totally, as Tom said, DOT kind of thing. But it's nice to know that some things are still percolating that did come through the process. But that's why they're not here, right?
Correct.
Because once they're let for construction.
Planning's over at that
point. That's right. We let for construction. Anything else?
Well, I think it's still relevant, though.
It is.
Because in the TIP, we put completed projects, we're proud of our accomplishments, so to speak. So, and I had that to report on, too.
Good.
As well as Forest Hill Road widening, the one we did let. It's current completion date for that's March 31st of 17. And so it's
3 years.
Pretty good ways out.
Mm.
I think a lot of that is landscape establishment.
I sure hope so.
Yes, sir.
and of course the construction of the Lamar Road roundabout in State Route 74. Hopefully have it completed by 4/30/15, about 5% complete on that one.
Yep. Any other questions or comments? If not, we'll move on then. Old business, Jim, you going to handle bikeways on Forest Hill Road, North Barriers on 75, and crosswalks at Tucker and Forsyth?
Yes, sir. These three items were brought up at the policy and were referred back to TCC for review. And so the TCC looked at all these items and got some updates from GDOT. The bikeways on Forest Hill Road, Lindsay Holiday actually made a formal request of the policy committee to go back and reconfigure the Forest Hill Road project from Wimbish down to Northside to add bike lanes. And I think it was also, he had suggested an actual name for it in honor of and the TCC talked about it, and in conversation with GDOT, that's going to be extremely difficult to do. The contract's been let for that project. Any change would require a supplemental agreement that's extremely costly. It would force a change in the typical section they've got in the plan. So due to all that, it's just not possible according to GDOT.
To add the bike lanes.
Yes, sir.
What about the naming of it for Cole Hogan?
That would be something we could
do. Local. Yeah.
North Barriers on I-75, we talked briefly about that.
Yeah, y'all, we pretty much covered that, and that's what we had the same discussion at TCC that you can expand the project limits of the interchange to include the noise barriers. That the only possibility might be to actually have a separate project for those noise barriers that would have to be paid for with local funds. There's just no mechanism in place for GDOT to expand that project area just for the noise barriers.
Like, especially within the last couple of years, they really looked closely at the logical termini for the project, and these are construction. So to extend it just for the sound barriers, just there's no way they would approve that.
Crosswalks
Tucker and Forsyth. We had a request from a citizen regarding that. There was a suggestion that locally we look at crosswalks at Tucker and Forsyth. It would be signalized. That's a dangerous intersection now, and you add pedestrians, it's even worse. And the committee referred it back to the TCC, and the local GDOT, Thomason office has been in contact with the traffic operations office in Atlanta. I think Scott Parker is kind of looking into that. And it's a state route, so GDOT has to approve that. I think the official request has come from the city through Nigel Floyd to install those crosswalks and signals. And so we're waiting on information to come back from the Atlanta office on whether or not that's going to be done or not.
Just prerogative of the chair, my thought would be that since you already have signals there, and since you have also restricted right turns on red in a couple of different directions at that intersection, mm-hmm. that the addition of crosswalks and signs wouldn't further complicate that. Plus, you do have a sidewalk of some significance going from Westland out Tucker Road, and there's a lot of people that try to get across Forsyth Road and onto Rivoli, which is more bicycle friendly, pedestrian friendly, whatever, especially on bikes. So that it really might, if y'all look at that, just keep all that in mind. I mean, it wouldn't be like adding a traffic signal. The traffic signal's already there. It's just kind of giving the pedestrians the signal that they need that now's the time to cross, right? Is that what I understand?
That's right.
So, yeah, y'all, so look at that again. I mean, it just can't be that. If you've already got the traffic signals there at that intersection and you are currently restricting right turns on red.
Going south and north.
Yeah, it just seems like it can't be that big a deal to add pedestrian crosswalk.
I actually talked to Scott Parker about that, and it still requires a revised signal permit to add those sidewalks, so, and he's checking on it, so
okay.
I'll keep checking with him.
Please do. Please do. Since there's a faint sign of life in that one, keep it on the agenda. The other two, we'll pass. New business. We've talked about Sardis Church Road already, and the Georgia Power, as you say, breaking news. But with that good news from Georgia Power, I hope we'll have some significant developments. And don't be looking 2016. You're a year behind. It was supposed to be let in 2013. So let's see if we can get it done in 2014. Let it. We ain't got many projects, y'all, so let's make some progress on the ones we got.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. Anything else to come before? All right, then the ham-fisted dictator says we are adjourned. Amen.